More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, who do you think you are? Plagued by self-doubts or feeling like you just don't measure up, we're going to help you see yourself through God's eyes. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, who do you think you are? We're talking about those times when we are just plagued with self-doubt or feeling like we just don't measure up or we're not up to the task that's in front of us. We want to help you get the confidence you need to pursue what God's asking you to do. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So we're asking, is there some part of your life where you feel like you're not enough? Like you're not measuring up? Are you holding yourself back from doing something God might be calling you to do? Such as a job, a ministry, or that hard conversation? Because you're convinced you'll just fail at it. Do you feel overwhelmed as a parent or frustrated in your job? Maybe you're facing a challenge and you think you know what you need to do about it, but you're afraid to take the first step. Well, let us help you get the confidence you need to discover and pursue the things that God wants you to do. Give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I have to say, it can be really freeing to reconcile yourself to the fact that you just don't know what you're doing.
Okay.
And that it's okay.
You gotta expand on that, because that's terrifying to most of us. Really terrifying.
Well, I mean, look, literally every day is the first time you experience that day.
Hmm.
You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what's coming. You have no idea what to do about any of it. Now, how do you figure it out? Well, you got all those days behind you that you've used skills to figure out how to respond to that new day in front of you. And I realize that might sound silly superficially, but that's actually how your brain works. You don't know how to do anything. You're always figuring stuff out, and you're figuring it out based on the past experiences that you've had. And that's how you know that even though you don't know what to do, it's going to be okay, because between the experiences that you've had that have taught you how to respond to new challenges and the grace you're being given by God, you have what it takes to do what you need to do. I realize it's easy for me to say, but we're going to talk that out throughout the course of the program and really help you develop that ability to be comfortable knowing that it's not up to you, but it's up to God. 877-573-7825.
Well, I think one of the reasons why people might be going, easy for you to say, Popchak, is because of all the wounds we entail during our lives that do stop us from trusting ourselves to be able to succeed at what we want to succeed at. Whether it's the kids who jeered at you at school or downright bullied you, whether it's that, oh, in my case, the gym coach, who just really expected every kid in the school to come in knowing all the rules of every sport and to be able to play it perfectly, and if you did not, you got destroyed. Sometimes it was teachers that bullied us. Sometimes it was parents, that if we didn't do things exactly the way they do it or did it, after their decades and decades of life, and they've never really taught us how to do whatever that job was, we would get in trouble. And often those things stop us in our tracks. Because maybe the bullies, the gym coach, the parents aren't in a place of power in our lives anymore, but those voices and that intimidation left a mark. But it's time for us to realize that we can grow and change, and we have grown into adults who can learn new skills step by step and do it for the will of God and for our own desire to do it and really learn how. But we often don't believe that. And so if you're struggling today, give us a call on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, you might be wondering, you know, how could some theology help me develop confidence? Well, St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, if we took everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, really all of it, what universal principles could we discern about living the kind of life that God wants us to live and having healthier, holier relationships? So it speaks to a lot of different things. And his answer to that question became what we ultimately call now the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body says that we live in the gap between the person that we are right now, with all our doubts and struggles and the whole, and the place where we're the whole, healed, godly, and grace-filled person that God is making us into. That gap is where self-doubt creeps in. When you hear that voice asking, who do you think you are? You're not enough. You can't do this. That's not God talking. Now, St. Ignatius called these messages desolations. That's the enemy's voice trying to get you to quit before you can even get started. God wants to help us learn to be confident. But Christians have a different approach to confidence than the world does.
Yeah, so the culture says confidence means believing you're strong and talented enough to handle anything on your own. So when we don't feel awesome, we assume that something's wrong with us. But Christian confidence isn't actually self-confidence. It's God-confidence. It's not about how great we are. It's about knowing who we belong to and trusting that God is working in us and with us and through us. We grow that sense by bringing God the thing that scares us and praying, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but you've asked me to do this, and I know you know what you're doing, and you believe in me. So teach me and help me figure out what the next step is. Then you take that next step, trusting that he's going to give you what you need.
So when the enemy asks you, who do you think you are? And all the other versions of that question that lead to that horrible self-doubt, you can answer that you are a child of God who's been given the grace to be more than a conqueror.
Yeah, so when you are struggling with that self-doubt or the feeling that you're not up to a challenge, remember, you're not cultivating confidence in yourself. You're cultivating confidence in the God who wants to lead you through that situation in a way that works for your good and the good of those around you. So have confidence in him. And then get to it. And if you're struggling to get to it, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Today's show, Who Do You Think You Are? As we talk about those things that we are being held back by self-doubt or the feeling that we don't measure up. We're going to help you get the confidence you need to pursue what God's asking you to do. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we bring to you those situations where we just don't feel up to it, where we feel scared or like we're not enough or like everything else is so big around us. And we ask you, Lord, to help calm those storms and help us to have faith not in ourselves and our own abilities, but in you and the fact that you've placed us in this situation and you are giving us grace and you've given us tools to overcome other challenges in the past, and that you will walk through us step by step if we just give the situation to you. Help us to cultivate confidence in you rather than in ourselves, and to be able to discern where you're calling us to go and have the courage to know you've given us the grace to go there. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, who do you think you are? As we talk about overcoming that self-doubt or those feelings like you just don't measure up that tend to hold us back, give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us where you are struggling with those feelings, and let us help you get past it.
Let's talk now with Christina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Christina. Thanks for calling in. How can we help you out today?
Hi. Yes, I think I'm in the step before when you say, you know, people need confidence to do what God wants them to do. And how do I discern maybe what I'm supposed to do in this part of my life? I'm in my mid-60s, and I was a stay-at-home mom for 40 years. My youngest is 23, married with kids. And I'm waffling back between this feeling of, you know, in our culture, I'm supposed to do, be productive, and saying, well, you know, this is really retirement age, and is it okay just to enjoy life? And, I mean, I love to go and serve my grandkids, but, you know, in between, I'm not feeling called to really any kind of ministry. And I don't feel, I know myself, I know I don't have the skills, the talents to, like, plan and carry through on any kind of program from beginning to end. So I'm like, I've told people I can volunteer and stuff envelopes and things like that, but I can't be in charge of any really big projects. So I'm like,
all right. Well, let me, how are you figuring it out now? Like, what do you have any kind of process at all for just sort of reflecting on what God's asking you to do at this stage in your life? Just so we know where you're at.
Yeah, no, I got those same thoughts just running around my head that I just expressed. I try to go to daily mass, and we pray daily rosary every evening. But other than that, I'm kind of back.
But are you praying specifically about this question, and if so, how?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so that's where we're going to start, and I'm going to give you some tips on how to start with that, right? So, you know, whether you pray a rosary or any other kind of formal prayers, or you know pray more spontaneously, I want you to have the intention in your prayer, or at least part of your prayer intention, to be, Lord, help me to know what it is that you want me to do at this stage in my life. You know, help me to know how to balance that desire in my heart to enjoy the life you've given me, the world you've given me, and also to use my gifts to bless others, and help me to know what that balance would be. And, you know, and if you didn't get all this down or don't remember, just download the podcast of More to Life later on and listen to it and really just kind of reflect on this. But the first step is really bringing the thing to God and saying, Lord, teach me what to do with this. And being honest, okay, about where you're at. You know, there's on the one hand, I do want to be there for others. I want to be there for my grandkids. I want to be there for my parish. I want to do. On the other hand, there are all these other things that I would really like to do and enjoy that I haven't had time in the past to do and really celebrate the life that you've given me. I don't know how all that fits together, but help me figure it out. I know you have a plan. Show me what it is. And give yourself some time.
Yeah.
It's okay to be patient. I'm going to let Lisa speak to this too, but you need, you know, it's not. A lot of times we feel like, okay, I've ended this phase of my life. Now I must immediately jump into the next thing. Take months, a year, more, whatever you need to really reflect on all those questions in prayer every day and just be thinking. And I have a little more I want to say, but I want to kick it to Lisa here.
Well, one of the things that came out in what you first said was everybody thinks you should do. What everybody thinks is, I need just enough talking points to have a conversation with the person next to me. In this case, it's you, Christina. So people will say, well, what are you doing all day now that the kids are gone? Or what are you involved in? Or just to make small talk. But when it comes down to it, nobody really cares whether you decide to kick back and just enjoy the last 30 years of your life or more and just, you know, recuperate from pouring yourself out into your spouse and your kids for all of these years and giving every cell of yourself to them. And now you get some time to just be and just find peace and relaxation and healing and joy. So what it really matters is, what's God telling you to do? And that's where Greg's hitting the nail on the head completely. Just talk to him throughout the day. You know, talk to him at the beginning of the day. Lord, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to prioritize my to-do list today? Lord, what do you want me to do with this week or this month? Where should I be fitting in times with the grandkids? When can I fit in times to get the family together? Are there things you want me to be doing for my community? And if he doesn't put that right in front of you, that's okay, because maybe he just wants to get closer to you. I think the biggest thing you could be doing right now is really leaning into creating a constant friendship with Christ, where you're talking to him all day long. You know his presence, you know his love, and you're open to the direction of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then he will lead you and guide you through every single day and really show you what he wants of you right now and for you.
Right and now. I realize, and I'm anticipating the objection here that, you know, Lisa's saying all this, I'm saying all this, and you're thinking, well, but what? How do I know what he's saying? How do I know what he... I promise you, you'll figure it out. And actually, yesterday's show was on that exact topic, so if you want to download that podcast while you're at it, you can check that out too, because we talked about discernment yesterday. But the point is, in praying what we're asking you to pray, you're at least asking the question. Right, you're putting it out there to God. And there's a sort of expectation that he's going to tell me somehow. I don't know how, but he's going to give me that sense. And the more you sit in that, the more you start to discover ways that he is talking to you.
And I heard you say we go to Mass every day. So if that part of that we is your spouse, if this person is still in your life, first of all, praise God for that. Get time together as often as you can, but be talking and praying with him as well about
your marriage.
What your marriage should look like right now, how you feed and grow and nurture that, how you want to be spending the next 30 years together, how you want to be living, and all of those things, so that you can make these decisions together. So you don't just start taking on things like volunteering and not really looking at that biggest part of your life right now, which is your life and your time with him.
So, Christina, again, some resources for you. Download today's podcast to really just get your head around how we're asking you to pray and reflect on all this, because that's the first step. Download yesterday's podcast on discernment to really dive a little bit more deeply into how do you know. And then I'm also going to suggest you pick up a copy of my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is really all about discerning where God's calling you in the face of challenges or from one chapter in your life to the next. And it lays out some really solid principles for learning how to hear God's voice and know what he's asking you to do. So, Christina, thank you so much for the call. Take the time to just give yourself permission to take the time you need to discern this, but use the resources we've suggested to identify those next steps, and call us back and let us know how it's going. All right, with that, we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 on our show titled, "Well, Who Do You Think You Are?" as we talk about all the ways that self-doubt and feelings like we don't measure up get in our way, hold us back, stop us from doing things that we think maybe God is asking us to do or that we need to do, or making changes that would be good to do but we are afraid we fail at. Whatever's standing in your way, let's talk it out and help you remove the obstacles and the barriers between you and what needs to happen or what God's calling you to do. 877-573-7825. When we come back, more with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She'll be sharing ways to cultivate confidence. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues right after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you feel like certain people just drain the life out of you? Like, no matter how much you give, it's never enough. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. The pastoral counselors on my team can help you set healthy, loving boundaries that protect your peace without sacrificing your relationships. You don't have to choose between being a good Christian and having a healthy emotional life or healthy relationships. Discover how to make your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, Who Do You Think You Are? As we talk about those times when we're being held back by feelings of self-doubt or the sense that we just don't measure up, how do we cultivate the confidence we need? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. She specializes in the psychology of success and directs the Catholic Counselor's Faith-Based Program in Performance Excellence. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
Rachel, so somebody who works with athletes, executives, other folks who need to be their best under pressure, what kind of faith-based perspectives do you have on cultivating confidence?
So I often invite people to start by thinking about how you describe everything else around you. Right, your coffee is strong or bold. Your best friend is loyal. Your dog is energetic, right? But when somebody asks you to describe yourself, we immediately default to, I'm not really a morning person. I'm not very patient. I'm not like those people who have it all together.
So it's a list of negatives instead of those strengths.
I'm sorry, what?
I said, so it's a list of negatives, not strengths.
Exactly. It's where we are literally the only thing in our lives we describe based on what we're not. And here's why that's a problem, not just psychologically, but really theologically. Because St. John Paul II talks about in the Theology of the Body that we're made in the image and likeness of God. That means that our identity isn't this sort of blank space, and it's not defined by absence. It has content. It has qualities and gifts and a capacity for love that is yours specifically. So when our self-talk is built on negative things, you know, like I'm not enough, I'm not that type of person, our brain has nothing to anchor to. And neuroscience calls this an unstable self schema. We can't perform from just this vacuum. But when we start to describe ourselves the way that we describe everything else that we value and it, by its actual qualities, right? So I'm patient, I'm passionate, I'm capable, I'm driven. Our nervous system actually has something real to sort of organize around. So if naming your strengths and describing yourself based on who you are feels hard or unfamiliar, this is how I invite people to get started. Every day, write down one thing that you did well. It doesn't have to be a big thing or something like extraordinary. It can be, I got out of bed when I was having a really hard day, or I let that person in front of me in traffic, or I reached out to a friend, right? Let yourself acknowledge those positive moments that we usually just sort of dismiss, and then explore what strength allowed you to do that. Maybe you were determined or diligent. Maybe you were patient or considerate. Maybe you were relationship-oriented or caring. You know, whatever it is, let yourself name it and actually claim it. And that's not arrogance. That's just you're finally describing yourself the way that God already does.
I think you're so right about this. I mean, people might think, oh, that sounds too easy, or I really don't know words like that. Well, then, by all means, Google them, because by naming it, you really start to tell your brain a totally different thing. You learn that new language of self-confidence, and that's not an easy thing in a world where people taught us as children to demur, especially as women. I don't know how hard it is for men, but we were always just, oh, don't be cocky, don't you? So you, oh, mm-hmm. oh, you look, you know, you did such a good job on this. Oh, it wasn't that hard. It was, but this is to say, really, these are the words of things that I have accomplished in any portion today, and that really retrains our brain to be able to do it again and again, doesn't it?
It completely does. You know, I think about kind of our brain as a filing cabinet sometimes, right? Where our brain naturally defaults to filing away maybe negative experiences or negative things, because that's the reactionary part of our brain trying to protect us. It thinks like, oh, if I store all of this negative stuff, I'll be safe from it. But when we only store the negative things and we never store maybe neutral things or positive things, right? Like, I got out of bed, or I let that person in front of me in traffic, right? No, that one moment doesn't define everything about you, obviously, but it does say something about who you are, that you are considerate, or you are patient, or you are thoughtful, right? And that matters. And so when we start storing those other moments, those positive things, or we can even kind of call them those neutral things, right? Where we're not necessarily saying it's good or bad, but it's at least not just that negative information. Yeah. It completely opens up a new neural pathway for us to follow.
Well, and if it feels strange to do this, the fact is the Psalms are meant to teach us to pray. That's why the church uses the Psalms as a huge part of the Liturgy of the Hours. And, of course, Psalm 139 has David saying, I praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. If David can do it, so can we. Rachel, thank you so much for your insights, fantastic ideas for cultivating confidence. And folks can learn more at CatholicCounselors.com. You can also call in right now at 877-573-7825. We'll help you cultivate the confidence you need to take those steps that God's asking you to take. 877-573-7825.
Why should we do no work on the Sabbath as the third commandment demands? The Catholic Catechism reminds us that in 6 days the Lord God made the heavens and the earth and the seas and all that is in them. On the seventh day he rested, thereby blessing and hallowing the Sabbath. The Sabbath is also a memorial of Israel's liberation from Egypt. The Sabbath is a sign of God's irrevocable covenant with Israel. Thus, the day is to be set apart as holy and for the praise of God, His work of creation, and His saving action on behalf of Israel. God set a model for human action. If the Almighty Creator could take a day off for rest and refreshment, so should His creatures. For Christians, Sunday replaces Sabbath observance because it is the day Jesus rose from the dead and ushered in the new creation. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
Here's the new challenge. At least 1 hour a week in front of the Blessed Sacrament, with the goal of an hour a day in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I had a guy come up to me and he says, Father, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm in a men's fellowship. I pray with my wife every day. I go to Mass every Sunday and usually a couple times during the week. I read Scripture. He goes, I want more. I said, do you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament? He said, outside of Mass, no. I said, I think that's the more. See, all these saints, these are the ones who surround us. These are the ones who ran before us. These are the ones who fought well, who kept the faith. They would tell you, as would every single saint in heaven right now, you cannot run this race if you don't spend time with the Master. Whatever else we're doing, it's second, third, and fourth. First things need to be first. The first thing is to be with the Master, and the Master is Jesus.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Ever feel like you're standing at a crossroads and every direction looks the same? Well, here's something that can help cut through the confusion. In my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, I explain that we can discern God's will by leaning into three qualities: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. When you're weighing a decision, ask yourself which option gives you the greatest chance to use your gifts for the good of others. Which one will make your relationships closer, healthier, and stronger, even if that means setting boundaries? And which one will help you become a more physically, mentally, spiritually, and relationally healthier, holier, integrated person? The choice that scores highest on all three? That's the direction grace is pulling you. You don't need a burning bush to know what God's will is. You just need a better compass. For more tips on discovering God's plan when you feel stuck, see the life God wants you to have, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak of the day on More to Life. Who do you think you are? We're talking about those times when we are plagued with self-doubt or those feelings like we just don't measure up. And that could be in the job that you're doing or the job you're being asked to do or the opportunity that's being presented in front of you. It could be parenting. It could be a relationship challenge that you know that you need to handle because you're just not happy, but you're not quite sure that you have the guts to bring up that conversation or do that thing.
Sometimes it's just that annoying, gnawing voice in the back of your head that kind of takes the will and the wind out of your sails all day long. You just think, I can't. I'm not good enough. This isn't working. So if you are feeling that way in any area of your life, let us help you not just come against those feelings, but reprogram from the heads up, bottom down. Let's make it happen for you today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next question, we want to send out some and notice here that one of our great EWTN radio affiliates needs to hear from you next week. The Guadalupe Radio Network with 48 stations serving Texas, Kansas, New Mexico, Alabama, Florida, Washington, D.C., and Virginia. Whew. is kicking off their summer share-a-thon drive on Monday. So make sure that if you are in their listening area to support the Guadalupe Radio Network, of course, wherever you live and wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers, for sure, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more joyful, faithful, and abundant life.
I'll tell you what, listening to that list that you just read, Greg, really reminds us of what we can do as people of God when we support Catholic radio. When we say the Lord wants his message known, we're going to support this. You can see the kind of miracles that happen at Guadalupe Radio and all the EWTN affiliates who are there trying to serve the Lord by spreading his message through the radio. And when you support it, it grows, it flourishes, and it does wonderful things in the world. So be that radio missionary and support your local Catholic radio station.
We are taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about overcoming self-doubt and that feeling that you're not measuring up. You know, Lisa, I mean, we're just talking about Catholic radio. I mean, I know all the people that run Guadalupe.
We do.
Most of the people that run the affiliates, none of them came from radio. None of them knew what they were doing.
True, but most of them just said, I think God wants me to do this.
And they had a lot of doubts and a lot of fears, but they, together with God's grace, built this entire radio network. What can God do in your life? We are helping you identify those things that God's calling you to and find the courage to step out in faith. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 as we help you cultivate the confidence to pursue the things that God wants you to do. 877-573-7825.
Well, we have a question here from Diane, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri, and she writes, 2 years ago, I tried to start a small business and it didn't work out. I lost a lot of money and honestly, a lot of my pride. Lately, I've felt a real pull to try again with a different idea, and part of me lights up every time I think about it. But the second I get excited, this wave of dread hits me. Why should it go differently this time? What if I fail again and everyone sees it again? So I just sit on the idea and I don't move. I don't know what to do. Should I take the risk Or is the fear trying to protect me from another huge mistake? And how do I know it would be any different? And that's Diane in Missouri.
Hi, Diane. Thank you so much for your question. And, you know, I think see both. What do I mean
both?
By that? Yeah. No, well, what I mean is, yes, perhaps this is a pull from God, and yes, the fear is trying to prevent you from making mistakes. Both are true here. Here's what I mean by that. It's not an either-or thing. You're always going to be nervous about a new thing. You're always going to be fearful about possible challenges or struggles. But the fear exists to help you identify concrete issues, right? So you know, I'm sure, why the last business idea didn't work out so well. I want you to write down those things. I want you to identify what were the obstacles that you ran into that you need to be prepared for this time. And also, if for whatever reason this new business idea didn't work out, what would you need to have in place to make sure that you landed a little softer than you did the last time? Because there isn't a guarantee that it would work. That doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, that God doesn't want you to do it. I understand what I'm saying. Of course you want to succeed at it. But I'm saying that sometimes God will lead us. It's not like, for example, the last business that you tried. The fact that it failed doesn't mean that God didn't want you to do it. I've done plenty
that
of
shocks
things.
People.
I've done plenty of things in my life that have not worked out all that well, but I learned important things from those experiences that allowed me to do something that I wanted to do even more, that I wasn't even aware of at the time. So there are lots of times where people will say, oh, well, you know, I was dating this person, or I had this job, or I took this opportunity. I really thought God wanted me to do it, and it didn't work out, so clearly I got it wrong. No, what were the lessons that you learned from that experience that you could take forward with you to do even better or open up new doors in the future? That's all part of God's plan, too. He uses it all. All things work to the good for those who love God. So the fear is asking you to go back and look at, seriously, what are the things that maybe stood in the way of your success? And what are the things that you, if you had them in place when it crashed, that you could have landed a little softer? Start asking yourself, is it possible for me to pursue this idea and address those concerns? So that's the practical side of it. Keep bringing that to prayer as well. Lord, help me to know what it is that you want me to do. And like we were talking about with the previous caller, bring it all honestly to God, right? There's a part of me that really feels pulled to do this, and then there's another part of me that is afraid because of X, Y, and Z. Help me know how to respond to those specific concerns. Help me to identify other concerns that the fears might be pointing me to. Help me clarify whether you really want me to do it. And then if you do, give me the grace to actually step out in faith. And know, okay, that you're not going to necessarily feel 100,000% confident and peaceful about it. But it's a matter of, do I think that I've reasonably responded to the objections or the concerns that my fears have raised, including having a parachute plan in case that it doesn't work out so that I can land and learn from it better than I did last time. And anyway, how do I respond to those other things? And then really keep bringing it back to God and saying, yeah, right, so if this is what you want me to do and I'm addressing these concerns and there aren't other concerns coming up, even though I feel nervous, I'm going to step out on this. And Lord, if this is not what you want me to do, hit me upside the head with a 2x4 and tell me what it is, because this is what I'm going to do unless you tell me otherwise.
Maybe and then, not proverbially, of course.
And then trust that God is going to do exactly, because if he doesn't want you to do it and you keep coming to him, he's going to let you know in some direct way, all right? But it's not going to be is that from God? Is God telling me that? Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to know. No, yeah. He's going to say no, and you're going to know it. But otherwise, you keep bringing those concerns back to the Lord and thinking through them so that you have a real plan, and asking yourself, is it possible for me to pursue this new idea in a way that addresses those concerns? That's how you hear the whole voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you through all of this, and really identify what God might be asking you to look at and what the enemy might be trying to tempt you away from.
I think one of the things that really reinforces for me the fact that she really needs to be doing this is that she said that, you know, when she thinks about this new idea, part of her really lights up. There are very few moments in the human life where people really light up. So I often take those light up moments as, okay, the Holy Spirit's really present. The Holy Spirit's doing something. So really leaning into the Holy Spirit and saying, all right, you've given me this sense of I light up. Now what do you want me to do with it? What's the next step I need to take in this? so that I can be in your will. So really asking God very clearly, based on the fact that I light up in this idea, but I've got all these past worries, what's the next step you want me to take? And really try to lean into that one step at a time.
And that next step is going to be any concrete things that those fears raise for you that make you say, okay, well, you know what, if this were to happen again, how would I handle it differently this time? Up to and including, if this didn't work out, how would I have a plan that would allow me to land a little more softly? So I think that if you were able to follow this kind of format, if you will, for how to pray through this and think through this, it's going to help you get a lot more clarity about whether you should do this new idea. I do talk a lot more about this in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is, again, all about discernment. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Thanks again for the question, Diane, and we will certainly keep you and your situation on our More to Life prayer list. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9.
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Okay, so it's the second half of that verse that I really want everybody to pay attention to. God's saying, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What kind of craziness is that? What does that even mean? Well, what it means is when we discern, okay, God asked me to do this crazy thing that I'm not competent or capable of doing. I have no idea how this is going to happen. And then we bring it to God and say, all right, Lord, you stuck me here. Show me what to do with it. And he does. The other verse that I was actually thinking about using today instead was the verse from Exodus, where Moses is complaining about he's a stutterer, and God says, who made your mouth? I will teach you to speak. I mean, but that's another example of what St. Paul's saying here. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. There are tons of things that God is asking you to do that you are 1,000% sure that you are not capable of. Step one is praying, confirming that he actually wants you to do it. And then step two is trusting that the God who made you is going to make you with all the skills to do what you need to do. I know it's easy to say, but keep bringing it back to prayer. I promise you that's what he will reveal to you in your life.
And again, it's usually one little step at a time, not jumping right off the high dive into the pool. It's one little step at a time in prayer.
Amen, because God is a merciful teacher.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, more with your questions about overcoming those self-doubts and feelings like you don't measure up that are holding you back in life, in your relationships, in all the things that you either feel like you want to do or need to do or that God's calling you to do. Let us help you get the confidence you need to discover and pursue those things God wants you to do. 877-573-7825.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. Put one nickel in and it's emptied. Boom. And I brought him home in a bag, and my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won them. You didn't win them. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. There's more to it than reciting the act of spiritual communion. We should begin by having sincere repentance for our sins and affirming our belief that Christ's death redeemed us. Next, we call to mind the spiritual gifts found in Christ's sacrifice and thank God earnestly for them. Now we are disposed to pray the traditional prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the show is titled, Who Do You Think You Are? As we talk about all the ways that self-doubt and the feeling that we don't measure up some way are holding us back. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Diana, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Hi, Diana. Thanks for calling in. How can we help you out today?
Yes, hi. Thank you so much. I have a little bit of a struggle. There's a couple of projects that I'm looking to launch, and these are things that have been on my heart for years. And it's interesting because I was just listening to the earlier caller talking about how these things light her up. And I mean, these things have just been pressing on my heart, and it's like what I'm about. But I really am held back by getting started because I can't come up with a name, and I don't want to use my name. And I have, so on the one hand, I really like, I'm not looking to be some kind of influencer. I do not like the idea of cult, you know, like the whole cult of personality, you know? And so I really am very turned off by that. I'm a very private person. I'm not looking to call attention to myself. You know, call attention, yes, to what I believe God wants me to bring forward, but not to myself. Mm-hmm. And so so I have that. But then on the other hand, I know that I also have fears of being seen and some shame wounds and that kind of thing. So I'm really struggling to reconcile this and figure out how to move forward because, as I said, it's holding me back. And
yeah,
I'm very stuck.
Okay. Well, thanks for the question, and I have a few thoughts that I could share with you about this. I want to speak first to the more general point about, you know, is it okay for us to put ourselves out there and to, like, you know, be known by a name? Does that create a cult of personality? Well, it certainly could, and people have certainly done that. I think it's all about, you know, how you do what you do. It's less what you call what you do than it is how you do what you do. You know, I think, in fact, I would love for you to divide a piece of paper into two columns. And on one column, I'd like you to write down people you think really make it about them. Mm-hmm. And this is not about judging them. This is about just really kind of, I want you to kind of get a sense of what I'm talking about. How do these people come across? So on the one column, who do you see that in your mind, I mean, this is your opinion, doesn't matter whether you're correct or not, but just who comes across to you as they're making it about them. And then another list of people who are in the public eye, who you think are making it about God, right? And they're out there doing it, and they're, you know, maybe they're even using their name doing it. But when you think of their name, you don't think, oh, they think they're something else. You think, wow, they really serve the Lord, okay? And I want you to just kind of really pray about the difference between the presence that these two categories of people have. And again, it doesn't matter whether you really know their hearts. What matters is that this is part of your prayer about how God is calling you to present yourself to the world in a way that seems authentic to you in the prayer life that you've got with God, okay? This is not about judging them. This is about learning what God's asking you to do. And so I just want you to really reflect on that idea, first of all, that you can, even if you name the thing after you, you know, Diana's greatest idea ever, you know, whatever, it's really ultimately about how you present yourself that determines whether you're going to create that cult of personality or you're pointing everything back to God. You know, Mary birthed the Savior, and she still called herself Mary, right? It's not that she came up with the Savior project. It was Mary, okay? But she points to her son. We all know her name.
Yes, all the other names that she's known by, you know, Mystical Rose, all these things are things we attribute to her.
But point back to her son.
She didn't walk around, you know.
Like we call her the seat of wisdom because Jesus sat on her lap.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so, I mean,
yeah.
So, you know, all the, whatever, you know, it all points back to the Lord because of the way she did it. All right. So I know I'm hammering that point home, but it just kind of occurred.
No, I mean, I'm going to go one further and you know, risk being a little, you know, because we're here, but Mother Angelica, you know, everybody knows her name, but you think Mother Angelica, you think, oh, that woman who taught us how to love God more, that woman who like reached out and really served God and put everything on the line to do that. And all of those things. It's not like she ever was like, look at me, I'm so fantastic. It was always, this is how we're going to serve the Lord. Come alongside of me and help me serve the Lord and let us bring the Lord to people. People who work in that way, they very, very rarely have a cult of personality.
So make that list, those two categories, and just really reflect and pray on how does that one category come across versus the other. And really make sure that you're leaning into that one that feels more authentic to you and points back to the Lord. The other thing, like we've been talking about through the whole program, I want you to really be praying through this openly and honestly and not editing yourself, but, you know, okay, Lord, you know, you've given me this project, this is what I want to, and I'm really struggling with what to call it. You know, I want it to glorify you. You know, I think it makes sense to call it, you know, my thing, but I can't think of other names necessarily, but help me to know what to call it so that I can call it something and move forward. I don't get hung up on this. Let me call it what serves you best and allows me to do the thing that you're placed on my heart.
And again, I invite you one more time to write things down. As ideas spring to your mind, any of the ones that you've had for the name of this before, things that come out as you talk to God throughout the day about doing these projects, write them all down, because I believe you'll begin to see a pattern in them. The ones that, well, as our last caller was saying, kind of spark a light in her. Write them down, and I think God will really help you see from all the words on the page at the, you know, end of the process where he wants you to go with it.
All right. And I guess the last point that I would have for you is, you know, what I was saying just a second ago, just to underscore it. Don't get so hung up on the name that you don't do it at all. Because that's the voice of the enemy, right? The enemy is saying, you know, oh, you have to have the perfect name, and has to make sure, you may have to make sure that it's not you, and you know, because he's just getting you to turn up and all that, so you don't do the thing that God's asking you to do. So ask God to give you the good enough name.
And you know, it's okay to have your name known. Peter, Paul, all of those people, their names are known, but it all points back to Jesus.
Right. So Diane, I hope that this will help you with this. And now you mentioned some other shame wounds. Where I think that under normal circumstances, the kinds of things we're suggesting here should be enough to get you over the hurdle if you really kind of keep praying through it and thinking through it the way we're asking you to. If you find that you're still getting stuck, then, you know, you heard Rachel Isaac's segment a little bit earlier. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, and she works with folks like yourself who need to be their best under pressure. She's studied the psychology of success, and she directs our faith-based performance program and performance excellence at CatholicCounselors.com. I just encourage you to set up a few meetings with her to kind of talk through a plan for really moving forward with this and getting out of your own way. Again, if you need that additional support. So start with the suggestions we've made here on the air, but we're here for you to walk with you the rest of the way if you'd like. It's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for the call. And, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up here, I want to kind of start where I, or end where I finish. Wait, end where I started. There you go.
Whew,
I can
and you
do this.
Did it well, too.
Oh, thanks. Well, perfect example of actually what I was trying to do. See, I did that on purpose because I was trying to set up my point. It's okay to not know what you're doing. It is okay. None of us know what we're doing. Every day is a new day. And in fact, blessed are the poor in spirit really means acknowledge you don't know what you're doing and that you need God to show you how to do it. And the verse that we had today from 2 Corinthians 12:9, where God's power is made perfect in our weakness, the only thing that matters is, has God asked you to do it? And if he has, he believes in you to go do it. That like he told Moses, you know, who said, Lord, I can't go talk to Pharaoh, I stutter. He said, who made your mouth? I'll teach you how to speak.
And boy, did he ever.
You know, and so we get in our own way in so many different ways. Having confidence as a Christian is not about puffing ourselves up. It's not about saying how awesome I am. It's not about, you know, thinking that the sun rises and sets on my rear end. It's all about knowing that God asked me to do something. And if he asked me to do something, he asked me to do it. And he's going to give me what I need to do it. And that is scary. And I will tell you, for my own life, I mean, I've faced that tons of times.
Sure.
Right? But I'm so grateful that God has worked in me the way I'm sharing with you. And it has brought many, many blessings in my life and the opportunity to serve you and many, many other people. And I'm so blessed by him showing me how to use gifts to be that blessing in ways that I never would have dared to give myself permission to do.
But again, it's step by step. It's trying it. It's doing it. It's testing it with God. It's talking to him constantly and experiencing the personal growth and strengthening that happens one step at a time in any area of your life where you need that confidence.
So if you're looking for healthy, faith-based ways to cultivate that confidence in any area of your life, or you're looking for ways to have the confidence to take on those relationship challenges, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.